Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking NIL with John Aitken. Is that right?
Aitken, you got it.
I was about to say something else, and I'm like, that's not right. And we discussed this beforehand.
No, that's fine.
And I shouldn't be telling all my secrets here, but a little bit about yourself first. A basketball coach from Maine. Degree in economics.
You got it.
Then a degree in sports administration. So I should say master's, not a degree.
That's right.
It is a degree, but you deserve the extra school there.
Yeah.
You went probably as long as I did, but I only have a bachelor's in general studies. So it's I tell that to Dr. Maggard all the time. He says it's Brian. I'm like, no, you earned your degree. And I don't, I told him, I said, the only person I won't call doctor is my brother. He has his PhD in history and teaches.
Yeah.
I said, I refuse to call him doctor. Everyone else I think deserves it. So, so you made it down to South Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Coached at Nichols, coached at McNeese. And now you're staying here. Is this, you enjoy South Louisiana?
I do. I love it. We moved to Thibodaux in 2016, I guess it was. And I mean, it was a completely different experience. We lived on Rue Beauchin. And so, I mean, we quickly learned, oh, holy cow, we got to learn some French here. I mean, we got to really ingratiate ourselves into this culture, into this community. And the people of Thibodaux and Houma, Schriever, Gray, that whole area, the Bayou area, was just phenomenal to me and my family. They took in my two kids and just loved on them to the point, you and I were talking beforehand, but the hurricanes over in Lake Charles devastated not just the city, but my community in particular, my subdivision, my house. We lost a good portion of our home. We had to have it gutted. Well, within 48 hours of the hurricane coming on land, there was a group from the Word of Life Church that we had gone to in Houma that was on my roof before I could even get to the house, patching it back together so that we could at least try to dry it in. And so that was really, it just cemented how special the people of South Louisiana are. And then the 5 years in Lake Charles, there were some tough times, the hurricane and some job stuff, but it was just a great community. And then as I've transitioned over here to Lafayette, I've always been jealous of Lafayette. You know, when you're at Nichols and McNeese and you play against UL and you get your butt kicked and you see the fan base, there's a little bit of a jealousy, of envy of what is here, but you don't really know what it is. You just kind of sense it and feel it. And so as I've moved over into this role, man, it's been unbelievable. The people that I've met with, the passion comes through, the commitment level, the excitement. And so I'm really fired up to still be in South Louisiana and still repping the 337.
You know, it's funny because we talked beforehand. I told you I had a little bit of a relationship or a connection to McNeese.
Yeah.
But my dad was from Thibodaux. Okay. He was born in Thibodaux. So I've got a connection there with you as well. So
absolutely.
It's my grandmother. We would go to Raceland every summer.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, in Schriever, my brother lives in Schriever.
Yeah.
So lots of connections there for the two of us.
Absolutely.
We only talked for about 10 minutes beforehand, but I really enjoy it. I mean, it's one of those things that when you sit down with somebody, you kind of feel a connection. And I think you talked about it with Coach Marlin.
Yeah.
I think it's there. And I do think it though, there's something different in South Louisiana.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you have to really understand the people of South Louisiana. You have to meet them on their territory, on their terms. You have to be willing to do this, to go and visit with people. At the end of the day, it's a very tight-knit community. And so you have to earn respect. You have to earn your trust. You have to let people know that you're genuine, that you're not out here just to wham, bam, and get in and out. I think like Coach Marlin, he's been here forever. You look at so many of the coaches here that have had success. They were ingratiated in the community. I've heard like Coach Shipley stories and all these coaches of the past who are just beloved, you know, and obviously what President Savoy has done and what Dr. Maggard has done. This community just loves people that come in here with an idea to stick around here and build something. And that's what, for me, as I'm growing what I'm doing now, it's really what it's trying to develop personal connection and relationship, spending time, hanging out. And so I'm doing that as the best I can.
So let's talk about the collect. Well, I know we talked about it beforehand, but again, I'm trying to, what is NIL for people that don't know?
So NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. What that represents in layman's terms is each student athlete has a name, image, and likeness. Craig, you have a name, image, and likeness. I do. I mean, I've been sharing that with people as I meet. Every one of us has name, image, and likeness. As we were talking before this about what you do for your full-time gig, you've done for a long time, and your reputation in that field has preceded you. And so you have a good reputation. You have a market demand because of your expertise. But it's the same thing, really, ultimately, for the student athletes. They have a name, image, and likeness that they can monetize now, meaning they can get paid for. That could be by doing an ad campaign. That may be doing a clinic or a camp under their name. That could be social media engagement. There's a lot of different things that your quote-unquote NIL can represent, but really more than anything, it's a way for student athletes to monetize their brands, in essence. And so what I am doing in this NIL space is helping to, one, bring awareness to the community, what NIL is. I think sometimes it's maybe misunderstood. It's kind of like the dark world, like, what is this really? And so helping the fan base understand NIL, and then also helping student athletes understand their responsibility with their NIL, not just getting paid. It's not just about going, like, I've had talked to a couple people who said, man, when NIL got rolled out, a couple student athletes called me and say, hey, well, how much are you going to pay me? Well, that's not how you promote your NIL. You have to develop connection. You have to develop what is a solution that you bring to a company. They might be, they're trying to get maybe their platform off the ground, or they're trying to get into a certain market. How can you help them? And so helping student athletes to understand how to go about using their name, image, and likeness to connect to businesses and individuals here in Lafayette.
And I think too many people get turned off of the phrase, that those that know about it, because they hear the $1 million or the 100,000 or the 200, you know, whatever the big numbers are. But it really doesn't have to be that. It can be a meal at a restaurant and promoting it on social media. Yeah. And I've tried to explain that to some of our restaurants around here. I'm like, all right, you have 500 followers on Instagram. This guy has got 10,000. Give him a free meal once a month. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. They're college kids. Yeah. Whether they're athletes or not, they can, yes, they have the training meal and all that, but it doesn't have to be a big number, I guess, is my point.
Sure. And I'll give you an example. So I was talking when I was at McNeese, I was a head coach last year, and we had a booster function, and there was a guy there in town that owns a restaurant called Southern Spice. Great guy, Myron Lelou. And another guy that was the GM or VP or president of a car wash in town that's very well known. And so they're asking me about NIL, and they're like, man, we're never going to be able to compete with the big schools. I said, well, you know what you could do? What if you gave $1,000 in gift cards that we could give out to student athletes, and they got $50 to come by here? Or what if you gave free car washes to student athletes? You know, you just put on their sticker and they promote it every time they came through. They put on social media, man, just got my car washed. They're like, you can do that? I said, absolutely. That's really a great entry level way to have a real impact on student athletes, because they get training table meals and this and that, but and sometimes they don't want to go to the training table. They want to go get a bite to eat with their girlfriend or something, you know? And so if they have that opportunity to go to so many of the great restaurants here in town, why not give them that experience? That's really what I'm trying to do, is educate. It's not just about paying student athletes or coming up with just money. It's connection and how can we provide a better overall experience in the community for these students?
I think you'll, as it develops, I think you'll see more of that, as opposed to, yes, you'll still hear about the $1 million deals, but I think those are far and few between. They're not.
Yeah.
I mean, the NCAA does the commercial. It says there's 30,000, however many athletes, and only 1% of them are going to go pro. Mm-hmm. So, are you really going to pay a kid $500,000 to win a few football games?
Right.
I mean, you are, but not everybody can do that.
Some places will, but I think even in this space, how do you provide for the women's sports or the Olympic sports, And I think there are some ways that, like, I'm talking with some different organizations that have some pretty unique opportunities, but even let's say a women's soccer player, volleyball player, track, they want to go do a clinic in their hometown. Maybe they're from Abbeville or they're from Sulphur, wherever. And they want to go put on a clinic for kids in that town. Well, what they could do is they could partner with a company in town here that would sponsor it, say $5,000, and they could offer it as a free clinic to the kids in the community. And it could be the John Aiken soccer camp, right? And that sponsor money could then go to them. They could use that as a way of promoting their name, image, and likeness, their brand. And so I think there's going to be some opportunities like that as well, to where a lot of times people want to engage the volleyball team or the women's soccer team or tennis team because there's not as much demand there. They want to feel like they have an impact and they want to have a connection. Well, you can do that through NIL. You can really have a unique approach and a unique opportunity to have those type of connections.
I know we talked about the rain earlier. You'll hear the squirrels running back and forth across the top. So don't think the roof is coming down or anything.
Not at all.
But, everything that you're talking about here, I think, develops communities. The athlete wanting to stay here in Lafayette or develop theirs, and the community giving back to something. The university is a huge employer, mm-hmm. and not only a huge employer, but also I kind of joke all the time that without the university being here, Lafayette would probably be Morgan City. when the oil field went bust, right.
Absolutely.
Quite honestly, yeah. I'm not banging on Morgan City.
No, I get it.
Thibodeau was able to survive because of Nichols.
Yep.
So I think this community needs to reach out and help the athletes that support the university and get the name of the university out there, so more people want to come here, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny, right before I met with you this morning, I met with Todd Trahan and was asking him, I said, what is driving the growth of Lafayette like it is? Because you come through Lafayette and I mean, it's just growing like crazy. And he said, oh, really? The university is growing. It's creating jobs. It's allowing people to stay in town, which is just creating, it's like a snowball effect a little bit. And now with the R1 status that the university has reached, it's brought in a more diverse group of faculty, staff, students. I want to say they have the biggest freshman class in the history of the school this year. They're doing things with like the Old Lords Hospital. They're for a nursing program. And so it's only going to continue to get bigger and bigger. Obviously you look at what the airport's doing. You look at like the solar company that's moving in just south of here. And I mean, Lafayette is just booming. And a lot of it is being driven by what the university is doing.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to bring up, it's the public-private relationship there with the university, with the research dollars and wanting to do that and bringing in the solar company or whoever it may be. I think it's awesome. I mean, even without that, if you look at the simple numbers, and I brought this up before, and I'm going to try to do this because I can no longer do math in my head. But if I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I messed up my number there. So if you just look at the simple numbers, if you got 16, let's say 16,000 students, if they each spend $20 a month, that's almost $400,000 in the community.
Wow, yeah.
So you know they're spending more than $20.
They're probably spending that in a week.
Yeah. So you're looking at $2 million a month invested in this community here. And I think it's time for the community to step back up.
I mean, when you think about it in that terms, you're right. I mean, they're spending that crap. I just went to get gas and spent $20 and got a Coke and a bag of cashews. So this morning I've already spent $30 in Lafayette, you know, and that's,
thank you.
Yeah, and that's just a drop in the pan. So yeah, when you put it in that numbers, that is it's an eye popping type of statistic.
And my point being with that though, that simple $20 a week or $20 a month, it's the same thing in NIL. Mm-hmm. If you look at the 20, the 50, the $100 a month, that, you know, whatever it may be, that all adds up pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And that's ultimately the purpose of a collective, you know.
Let's talk about the collective then.
Sure, sure. So collective is called Crouelan, which I think really fits well with the culture of South Louisiana. That was something that Dr. Maggard and I had talked about when this was not on my radar. I mean, I was a basketball coach. I've been a basketball coach for 15 years. This was never something even when I got let go at McNeese, I wasn't thinking, man, how can I do this collective world? I didn't even know what it was, to be honest with you. As I got into really the needs of coaches, friends of mine that were bumping into the transfer portal, problems with NIL, kids getting recruited off their roster, I started to learn more and more about it and started to dive in. And really the beauty of a collective, what a collective does, it's just that. It collects a large portion of funds that can then be distributed in a variety of ways. It can be distributed through corporate partnerships. It can be distributed through events like we're going to be doing. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. It can be distributed through promoting the collective. It can be there's a lot of different ways that we can skin the cat in it. But like for the event coming up down the road in just a few weeks, we're going to have probably 400 or so guests at this event. Well, about 60 of those 400 will actually be paid guests because someone paid for a table. They invited seven friends that didn't pay anything, or maybe some people went in on it, but you're going to have about 350 people that didn't pay to be at the event. Well, we're going to do a deal. Hey, who'll join the collective at $500? Who will join it for $100? Well, then all of a sudden, if you do that and you get 300 people to commit to 100, you've got $30,000. You get 300 people to do 250, you got whatever that is, $60,000, $70,000 on top of some of the auction items. And so ultimately, that's the beauty of a collective. I think right now, what we're seeing in Lafayette, there's some people that are trying to do some NIL stuff, and they're maybe trying to go get 5-10 people to give $1,000, $5,000, which is, we need it. But the power is in the army. You know, it's when you can overwhelm it with, if you can get 1,000 people to join the collective at $100, it's $100,000, you know, why not? Why not? If you can get students to give $10 a month or $10 a year, even through a QR code at a football game, now all of a sudden you have a big pool of money that can help us retain some of these players that, let's face it, there's some guys that are going to be recruited in our sports. And we have to be proactive. And that's really what the point of the collective is.
So it kind of goes back to the thing that we were talking about, the students investing in the community. Yeah. In the community. Now it's time for the community to invest. But the collective is for all sports. So it's not just the event we got coming up, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But the collective is going to work for all sports and do events for all sports.
Yes, that's a goal. So the collective is for the whole athletic department. We're not affiliated directly with, like, it's my own LLC that I created.
Right.
I have a partnership, a working relationship with the athletic department. But
the athletic department is not supposed to be involved.
Correct. They can't.
But they're there to make sure that the student athlete is not being screwed either. Right. And that works within the rules.
To lend some legitimacy, you know, yeah. There's, I think down the road, what you will see is, as we work out some things with the corporate sponsor team, an official partnership to where that gets rolled out. And so you'll start to see us in university settings a little bit more. The other thing that we're doing is putting together an advisory board of people here in town that lends some credibility and legitimacy to, okay, this collective has ABCD person represented or part of their board. I feel comfortable being a part of associating with that, you know? And so we're working on putting all of those things together. And then, yeah, the collective.
So it's not just you taking money and going,
right.
I'm taking 75%. Here's
right.
I didn't say that.
No, we have a CPA group here in town, that will help with the accounting. So they'll see the ins and the outs. We'll have one of the guys in that CPA group. I actually was texting with him earlier, is going to be like a fund manager, I guess you would call it. I've met with like a guy named like Jace Conrad, great baseball player here. Yep. Back when they were number one team in the country. He's going to be a part of our advisory board. Ben Berthelot, guy with Lafayette. So there's some name recognition, so that as people are going around, like, and they look on the website, what is Croulon? Who's this John Aiken dude? I thought he was a basketball coach. Oh man, he's got these people involved. Okay, that's pretty cool. And it gives some legitimacy. What the plan is, it's kind of a 2 or 3 tiered pronged approach. You have the events. So like basketball event, the money raised that night is going to help basketball.
Right.
We're going to do a football event in the spring. We're working on that now. We're talking about that, what that's going to look like. That will help football. We'll have a baseball, softball event, likely. That will help those sports. Then we'll have traditional giving. You can go on the website, crewlon.com, and you can join the crew right now. That goes into a pot that we can then sit down with the advisory board and say, hey, where does this really need to go? How do we need to push some of these dollars? Is it a percentage that needs to go to help over here?
If someone goes online though and gives online, can they say I want to go to soccer, or is that not there yet?
They can. We're not
encouraging it.
Yeah, not so much. Now, if there's a hand in handout, hey, we really need to provide for this particular sport, and I am giving right now, that's going to turn around and probably be done. Like it comes in, it goes out almost as quick.
Okay.
We're going to really try to hit some of the sport specific stuff through the events.
Okay.
Where when we have an event for that team, that pot of money is going to stay there with them. I'm working with some different people in town. We're going to be rolling out a deal with a restaurant here where on Fridays, in the next few weeks, we're going to have a deal on their patio. A portion of that proceeds is going to go to the collective. I'm working with to trying to get like a beer off the ground here in town to where a portion of those sales would go towards the collective. And then those dollars can be divvied up however we see fit. So those are really the three tiers. You have a subscription, or you can just go online and join the crew. That money goes into a pot. You have the events that will be very much sports specific. And then the goal is to get corporate involvement. Like even a roundup feature. You go in town now, everywhere you go, hey, will you round up? Well, my goal is eventually to get a roundup feature with some restaurants or places in town. Hey, round up, and it goes towards joining the crew, joining the collective. And so those are some features that I'm actively engaging in and thinking about right now to get our funding base really built and established.
And when you say corporate, you're not talking about just huge corporations. No. You're talking restaurants, sports bars, absolutely, or whatever it may absolutely be.
It could be a gift store.
Okay.
This company is not doing this, but just, I was just in there. They got a great shop, like Louisiana Hut Stuff. They've got great gear. Why not try to partner with them and say, hey, every time someone comes in here, ask if they'd like to round up, and it would go to the collective. Again, that we don't have any of those partnerships lined up, but those are some thoughts, some things that I'm trying to build. And so that's something that I want people to know. Hey, there's the opportunity. If there's a company in town, if there's a restaurant, if there's a business that's listening to this and says, you know what, I can't write you $1,000 or $5,000 check today, but man, I think I could give you access to a roundup feature at my store. And that maybe that's $50 a week. You do that times 52 weeks, there's $2,500, you know? So those are, it's all about educating and being creative and trying to think of ways that we can allow people to be a part of this that doesn't feel like it's a huge ask. We're going to have some big asks. We're going to have some people that we go to for some big donations, but we need to be able to get the mom and the pops, the people that, man, I can only give you $50 or I can only give you 100. And you put a big group of those people together, that's really impactful.
I think we could talk about this all day with the different ideas, and I already see your mind. I see that look in your face that your mind's always thinking, and I think this is awesome. And maybe we can talk more later on a different one, come back and talk about it. But let's talk about the event you got coming up. What, it's for basketball. We've said that a couple times. What's the date of it?
October the 12th, which is a Thursday evening. It will be at the Doubletree Hotel on Pinhook. And you know, it's funny. It was supposed to be at the Dome. That was kind of where we initially had thought we were going to have it, and some wrinkles came up. So we had to pivot. And I researched just about every place in town. And for some reason, Doubletree had not popped onto my radar, just for whatever reason. Well, when we had to pivot, Coach Marlin was going to a American Cancer Society event at the Doubletree that weekend. They do the black and white gala yep. there every year. Really, really, really nice event. They're honoring the president's wife. She had passed.
Gail Savoy.
Yeah, so they were honoring her that evening. And I'm a believer, but it's funny. Sometimes we were talking about how things line up and connection. And Crouillon is the name of the collective. Well, if you drive up to Doubletree and you look at that bridge, on top of that bridge, it says Allah, Lafayette. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
No, I haven't.
And so when I rode up, I was like, would you like, look at that. Like the first event we're going to have for Crouillon, literally right there, it says Allah, Lafayette. And that's when I was like, you know what, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. And so that event is going to be really cool. Wayne Toops is going to be there. He's going to be playing. We're going to have 20 or so auction items, maybe a little bit more. We've got,
I've seen some of those, some big items too, with, trips to Florida, trips.
We got condos. We got a condo in Florida. We got a trip with the team to like a hotel with some tickets.
Yep.
At their deal down in the Tampa area. We've got suite tickets to the Pelicans for opening night. We've got Chris Stapleton tickets. We've got Ruffino's is going to do like a 4-course meal for 8 with Coach Marlin. We've got.
It's funny. We talked about Ruffino beforehand. Yeah, we talked about.
Yeah. We've got like a deal at Toledo Bend. We've got a hunting deal down in Gaydon. So
a lot of it is it's sports, but it's not really. I mean, it's more entertainment than a lot of the auction items.
Correct. Yeah, it's a way for it's unique experiences. You know, like. A hunting camp down in Gaydon, a really nice hunting camp down in Gaydon for a weekend. And we're going to pair that with some food and liquor, you know, and then the dinners here in town. Honestly, it's another way to connect, right? Ruffino's, hey, we're going to put you at our auction. We're going to get people bidding. And people get excited to go to Ruffino's. And so it's another way to promote some of those brands. Like Dr. Brett Venable is a guy that's given us a couple of these items. And it's a way for me to be able to promote him and say, hey, you know, Dr. Venable provided the Stapleton and the Pelicans tickets. And so it's, again, it goes back to that connection point. Mike Heinen, great golfer, obviously. Yep. Like he's given us a custom golf cart, you know, so we're going to have a UL custom golf cart that will be in the mix. We've done that at McNeese. I called him 2 days ago. And so it's just, I did these events at McNeese for 5 years and raised almost $700,000. It was for our basketball program. It was for the funding. This is for your NIL stuff, for the collective.
You know, it's we called it Raging Cajun Celebration a few years back. It went on for about 4 years and raised about $100,000 a year. But for you to do that as the basketball coach, or even if you were an assistant coach and still doing your day job, that's a lot of work for an individual. Because I know as part of the committee that put those Raging Cajun Athletic Celebrate, it was a lot of work for volunteers. So
full-time job.
So you've got a full-time job now helping the collective grow and put on these events. Now you still do have volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a tremendous group, really with the basketball committee right now. Karen Hayes, which is a name a lot of your listeners will know. Karen's been unbelievable for a long time. I mean, she's been kind of a lone ranger with the Rebounders Club, and has just done a heck of a job. So she is on our committee. Chris Landry is a guy. Honestly, I texted him last night. I texted him this. I said, Chris, I'd be lost without you, buddy. And he's been phenomenal. There's Todd Viator,
yep,
is a part of our committee. Ted Lyles was a really good basketball player back in the yep, day. George Foster. So we've got 12 or 13 on that committee, and they're volunteering their time, their connections, their resources. And then, you know, the board that we're putting together will be a volunteer-based board. Just a bunch of people that have great connections. And what I say is far-reaching tentacles in the community. They can reach a lot of different places. And it's really a grassroots initiative. It's a grassroots growing of this thing. But ultimately, I think that's why it will work here, because that's what ultimately Raging Cajun fans are. You know, they've built things, they're grinders, they have a pride in what they've built. And so I've really wanted the culture of our collective to really match the culture of Lafayette and the university.
Love that word, culture.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for here.
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody has a culture.
Yeah.
But I know I've worked in 34 different states,
yeah,
and been to every state except North Dakota, Montana and Alaska. But you know, all of that, they all have cultures, but it's not the same as here.
No.
And they would probably say the same thing about their area. And if you grow up in those areas, that's fine.
Yeah. No, the culture here is just incredible. I mean, from the food to the music, just to the relationships, to the way people, just the connections, the culture here is different. It's real. And that's something I said it earlier, but when you played against UL, you always heard that, you always saw it and you felt it, but you didn't really understand it until you really get inside of it and you start to, every time I sit down and talk to somebody, they're pointing me to, hey, you need to talk to this person, that person. And it's overwhelming the amount of connection that I've been able to make just in a short period. I mean, I've really just been pushing this since really about September 1st. We were doing a soft rollout really up until the event, October 12th. And I told Dr. Maggart, I said, we got to go. We got to get this thing out there. We got to get in front of this. And so the Friday before the first football game, I created a Twitter account. I created an Instagram. I'm terrible on Instagram. I need to get that going better. But that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to start really diving in and meeting with people. I've probably had 25 meals or meetings in the last 3 weeks. This is the second podcast I've done. Just diving all the way in. And what can this look like a year from now? That's really what can we grow this thing organically into in a year?
Do you have a goal for this first one?
My goal, event? Yeah.
I mean,
fundraising goal?
Yes.
$150,000.
Okay.
My goal. $150,000 to have in a pool. If we could get to 200, that'd be great. I don't know if we can. At McNeese, we did 125, the first event I ever did, 250, the second one. And then we did about 150, the third and the fourth. So my goal for this is 150. I think we can get there. I like where we're at with our sales, table sales, auction items. I think people will be excited when the players are going to be in tuxedos. The players are going to have responsibilities at the event. They're going to be engaged. So I think when you have that and people start to see a Kobe Julian or a Demus Fultz or Kentrell Garnett or guys that they've seen on the court, now they're engaging with them and they say, hey, come on, be a part of the crew, join the crew. It's hard for me to feel like people are going to say, nah, you know, I think the excitement level, the passion, people are going to be like, man, I want to be a part of this. I want to contribute to this. And so I really think it's going to be a really successful evening.
It sounds like, I know from my workings with the Diamond Club, when we have events with the team, you can just see our members, our donors' faces light up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are just so excited.
Yeah.
And when you see a guy like Kendall Garnett, it's like you don't realize how tall he is because he's always standing next to Jordan Brown.
That's right.
Or somebody else. Yeah. And you're going like, oh, excuse me. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, some of them look so small, but they're really not. No, and you know that as a basketball coach.
Yeah. They're 6'3" and they look tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very excited about that because I think that's important, because when you're asking someone to contribute money or other things, they need to know the players. And I think through all of our sports, we have some great individuals, not just players. No.
Phenomenal people.
But people.
I mean, like Zion Chris, obviously, he's kind of the name that's going around town right now after what he did at UAB. And I went over to the coach's show at Walk-Ons on Monday night, I guess it was. And I was blown away at his responses to questions. Either Dez did a heck of a job coaching them up, or it was really genuine. And I think it's the latter. He just, Jay, he did a great job asking him some questions, and Z just knocked it out of the park. And I just sat there like, wow, what a young man to represent this university. And a kid like that, when he has that type of success, it'd be so easy to get big headed. And I think Jay had asked him about which was better, the pass or the run, you know, and if it were me, I would have said the run.
Yeah.
You know, like that 80-yard run is pretty special. And he said, really the pass. And Jay said, well, why would it be the pass? And he said, because that took team involvement. He said, the run, I just kind of made a play. And he said, but when that pass happened, it was a play that we had talked about with I can't remember the receiver. And that was all the pieces coming together. And that's ultimately my job as quarterback. And when he said that, I was like, holy cow, like what a response for a freshman. And so we've got phenomenal kids in this university. The basketball players I've gotten to know quite a bit as I've been playing for this event, and they're a lot of fun to be around. They love each other. Coach Marlin has a great culture. Seth Thibodeau is a really good friend of mine, one of the baseball coaches. Yep. And so getting to see how they operate, how they go about their business. Phenomenal people. And to your point, Craig, I met with Todd Citron at Hub City Ford. And we were talking about some different things. I said, you know who'd have success with you down the road? An athlete that had a really good following, had a really good career, and turned into a car salesman. How many people do you think he could get to come to the lot? And so that's what we have to – the name, image, and likeness, yeah, it's going to take care of some things in their career. But, man, when you go and you get out and you need a job in the workforce, oh, I remember Kentrell, or I remember Kobe, or I remember – man, I'll go get a car from him. I just want to talk to him.
Yep.
You know, maybe that gets him in the door just to talk. And all of a sudden, that's why I was telling Todd, that sells a car for you. And so that ultimately is the full circle NIL picture. How does it keep these student athletes in Lafayette so that they can grow a family, grow a career, and continue to help Lafayette thrive and boom like it is?
Bo Lamar went to work for a basketball player here in the 70s. Went to work for Schilling Distributor. Mm-hmm. And I've got to believe that's why Schilling is so big here.
Absolutely.
As opposed to maybe one of the other beverages. And to your point about an athlete, one of my friends told the story on one of the podcasts. We were talking about baseball and his love for it. His dad played in the Evangeline League. Mm-hmm. And was a first baseman. And one of the guys that sat next to first base was a jewelry salesman. Okay. And he said he had his stores. He said, hey, when you're ready to quit playing baseball, I want you to come work for me, because he knew what the crowds were into at the time and they could see that. So that, I mean, you hear those stories and it's not just, you're not just saying this is something that could happen. It's happened in the past and has been successful is my point to it all. I'm not just rambling incoherently here like I do most of the time.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's, those are success stories that we need to talk about. You know, the like a Schilling distributor that was built with a guy that was a student athlete here. Because as things continue to grow in Lafayette, it's not slowing down. Man, there's some businesses getting off the ground. There's some industries that, you know, they could use student athlete engagement and involvement and take that from when they had a partnership with them as a student athlete. Man, now you go and hire them. I mean, Jace Conrad's killing it.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing great. Talking with him, he's using his NIL that he didn't have. There was no NIL back then, but he's using it now in his work daily, and it's getting him in the doors with high level people in his insurance business. And so really trying to help our student athletes understand, and this NIL thing is going to stay with you for life. It's your resume ultimately.
Well, before we wrap up, I know it's a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. What at the DoubleTree? What's the date again?
Thursday, October 12th, at the DoubleTree. And like I said, we've sold 48 or 49 out of the 60 tables. They only have room for about 60. We're going to be out at the tailgate on Saturday, kind of promoting the event, promoting another deal that we're going to be launching here in the next week or two. And so if there's people that are interested, I don't want
to. How can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at two different ways. I'll give you my cell phone. Cell phone number is 337-292-6265. And that's my best mode of communication. You can also go on crewalon.com, which is crew, crewalons.com. And on there, you can find information for the event, kind of shows you what the event's going to look like, the sponsorship levels. There's opportunities to join the crew on there. You just click on it and you can put in your credit card information. There's some FAQ on there, like what is a collective? How does a collective work? How do we make sure that the collective is going to get money to the student athletes? All those kind of things are built into that website. The FAQ are in there. So people can look me up that way. But I am wide open to anyone. I'd love to have sit downs and go out, take people out to eat. If you want to go out to a meal and talk, all I'll ask is for a name, another name I can go talk to. I mean, that's ultimately what I'm trying to do, is just build my network of people here in Lafayette.
Good deal. You've been listening to We're Talking. Today, we've been talking NIL with John Aiken, former McNeese coach, former coach at Nichols, UT Martin, Bellhaven, a couple places there.
Yeah, yeah. All the way back to little bitty Greater Portland Christian School in Portland, Maine is where it all started.
And the only reason I bring up his coaching history is he knows student athletes. And I think we're in good hands with you, John. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. It's been fun talking with you.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.